Welcome to Hope Sabbath School, an in-depth, interactive study of the Word of God. I'm glad you joined us today. We're in the midst of an amazing series of studies on the Holy Spirit. Our topic today is the Holy Spirit, the Word, and prayer. I know you're going to be blessed, and I'm glad you're with us. Welcome to the team. What a great series of studies this has been.
Yes.
Learning so much about the Holy Spirit, and today, the Word and prayer. And we're just glad that we can study together. We're always happy to hear from you, our Hope Sabbath School members around the world. When you send an email to sshope@hopetv.org, we forward it to the entire team and to our media team, because that's when we see how God is working and it brings real joy to our hearts. So thank you, Jamie, for writing to us from Florida. We've got a Jamie here today on our team. So I guess Jamie waves to another Jamie, says, I've been catching you off and on for the past year. I love studying with you because you make it seem like a school setting where we are all teachers and all students. Is that awesome? So it's not like one person, you sit still and memorize every word I say, but we're all teachers together, right? That's the word interactive, right? You are a fresh breeze, writes Jamie, when we are bombarded with pre-scripted sermons.
Whoa.
You know, we do learn more when we interact with each other, don't we? So thanks for writing to us from Florida, Jamie. Here's a note from Francis in Zimbabwe. Francis writes and says, because of your ministry, Hope Sabbath School, I stay connected with Jesus through his word.
Amen.
It doesn't get any better than that, does it? I am now a ministry student at Salusi University. God bless you. Continue the work of God. He will soon come with personal rewards for each and every one of us. Praise God. Well, Francis, you're going to be a pastor, so I hope you're learning some powerful lessons about interactive Bible study. You can download the same outline that we use for our group from our website, hopetv.org/hopess. Tens of thousands of teachers download that outline and have a great Bible study. We're glad you're part of our class from Zimbabwe. Here's a note from Katametsu. Anybody want to guess where Katametsu is? From Botswana. Katametsu, I've been finding it difficult to understand the Bible, she writes. This has been painful for me as a mother, sister, guardian, and leader, failing to provide spiritual guidance to the people who look up to me. But thank you for helping us to understand the concepts that Christ meant for us to understand when he inspired the writings of the Bible. It even makes meaningful participation with my Sabbath school class possible. May God bless you.
Wow.
You know, thank God for a mother, sister, guardian, leader who really wants to know the Word of God. Amen?
Yeah.
And Katametsu, God bless you there in Botswana. And we have a note here from Fred in Kenya. Now, we have some Kenyans on our team. Eric's one from Kenya, right? But he's not here today. But Fred writes and he says, I love watching Hope Sabbath School and it is helping to build my faith.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm going to join the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Amen.
So I tell you, you're just studying your way into the great movement, preparing for the coming of Jesus. Fred, thanks for writing to us. One last note. This one is from Grace in the Philippines. You notice we have Hope Sabbath School members all over the world?
Yes.
I was just checking recently. We have an app for Hope Sabbath School, both for iPhones and Android phones. 150 countries are using that app.
Wow.
So that's every nation, kindred, tongue, almost, right? Grace writes, hello from the Philippines.
Hello.
All right, you got some waves there, Grace. I'm at Mindanao Mission Academy. I just want to express my heartfelt gratitude to you for having an interactive Sabbath school every Sabbath that's available anytime. I'm so blessed because it helps me a lot, especially as a new teacher here. We have a long-range schedule for conducting an interactive Sabbath school with our students. I can understand better by watching your program. God bless you. I hope you will continue inspiring people till Jesus comes. Eh?
Amen.
Beautiful. Well, thanks for writing to us. And if you've not written to us at SS Hope hopetv.org. We'd love to hear from you. You say, I wrote before. Well, write again and share what the Holy Spirit's doing in you and through you. Right now, before we begin our study, we have a scripture song. It's been the theme song for this series. I know many of you have already learned it from Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Let's sing it together.
And self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Amen. So that means the more we're filled with the Spirit, the more we'll love God and love each other, right? Yes. And I believe when we love God with all of our hearts, we're going to want to talk to Him. And we're going to study today about the Holy Spirit, the Word, where we listen to Him, and prayer, where we communicate with Him. So let's pray together now. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much that you have spoken to us most clearly through your Son, who came, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus of Nazareth, to not only save us from our sin, but to reveal the beauty of your character. You're a God of love, and you want a relationship with us that will change everything. I pray today as we study about the Holy Spirit, the Word, and prayer, that you, Holy Spirit, would be our teacher and that lives would be blessed around the world. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if you grew up in a family that prayed. You know, I remember my first little prayer was, thank you for the world so sweet. Thank you for the food we eat. You know, that was just kind of it. And I said it all the time. But we want to talk about prayer today. And we want to begin by saying that there is some prayer that is not pleasing to God. Mm. Did you know that?
Wow.
There's some prayer that's not pleasing to God. Let's go to the teaching of Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 and verse 7. Jamie, if you'd like to start our study today, Matthew chapter 6. Now, fortunately, Jesus will also tell us what is pleasing to him. But let's look at verse 5 and 7 of Matthew 6. What type of prayer is not pleasing to God?
The New Living Translation says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself. Shut the door behind you and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again.
That's an interesting translation. Wow. What translation do you have today?
New Living Translation.
A New Living Translation. So what did you hear in verse 5 and 7 in terms of don't pray like this? Nancy?
He wants our prayer to be genuine.
Don't give us the positive because we're going to come to that in a minute. What's the negative? Don't pray like what?
A how? Show-off.
A show-off. That's right, Joshua. Don't just go and say, oh, someone's coming, coming. Oh, Father. Is there any reward that comes from praying like that?
No. Sure.
Well, according to Jamie, there is. Jason, what is it?
The reward is how other people treat you, and temporarily they may look at you.
Yeah, a little bit of fame or attention, but that's all. Yeah. No heavenly reward, right? Yeah. There is a heavenly reward when we connect with God in prayer, right? Mm-hmm. So don't pray as a show-off. That's a kind of a colloquial expression to draw attention to yourself. What else did you hear from Jesus? What kind of prayer is not pleasing to God?
Vain repetition.
Saying the same. Vain repetition is one way of saying it. I forget what the New Living Translation said. Using the same words over and over again? Or
it said babble.
Babble.
On.
Babble on and on, okay? So what's that talking about? Could you say a prayer, and it could just become a meaningless repetition?
Yeah. Yeah.
Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father.
Oh.
Even though that's a good prayer, you could kind of pray it without thinking or...
Yeah.
Mm. Right? Nicole?
I just want to be careful that if you have a specific request of the Lord, there's nothing wrong with praying for that request over and over again.
Right.
It says pray without ceasing.
Sure.
But I think this is more of the... It's kind of become just rote, just kind of memorized, kind of... Vain words that you're just saying.
And not wishing to offend anybody because, you know, we all pray in slightly different ways. But I've heard someone say, Father, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Father, Heavenly Father. Mm. You know, if I were to say, and Gloria, I thank you, Gloria, that you came, Gloria. she would say, what's wrong with you? Talk to me as your friend.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to call you by name, say, Gloria, it's great to see you. And I really appreciate you being part of Hope Sabbath School. I might even mention her name twice in the conversation, but I'm not just going to say, Gloria, 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 Gloria. Thank you, Gloria, right?
Yeah. Right.
So I need to think about how I would talk as to a friend. Mm-hmm. Don't pray just with a lot of...
Filler.
Yeah.
Babble was the word, the babble. And don't pray to bring attention to yourself. Well, let's look at an example of a prayer that apparently was not pleasing to Jesus in Luke chapter 18, verses 11 and 12. Joshua, I'm going to have you read it, but I just want to say, I'm so glad Jesus tells us how to pray. We're going to get to that in just a minute. In fact, the Holy Spirit's very active in how we should be praying. But what's an example of a prayer that was not pleasing to Jesus in Luke 18, verses 11 and 12?
All right. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess.
So I have a question for you, Nicole. How did he even know there was a tax collector standing next to him?
Probably gossip or just...
Remember the thing about praying to draw attention to yourself.
Yes. Yeah. He probably knew the people that were around him.
He's like,
and he's looking around.
Oh, thank you, Father.
Let's
see how many people are watching me pray. Why was that not pleasing to Jesus? By the way, didn't Jesus say the one who's praying earnestly, we'll talk about that kind of prayer, he leaves set right with God. The other one, no. Mm-hmm. What was wrong? All right, Nicole?
A prayer is to... gain to increase your relationship and know who God is. And if you're praying boastfully and just talking about what you're not like with everyone else, you're not developing any real relationship or actually getting to know what God wants from you. So this is just very, very much of a they're them, I'm me, look at me for who I am.
I was puzzled, Tricia Lee, by the preface where it said he was kind of talking to himself.
Flattering himself. And by him just flattering himself, he's saying words for his own edification and glory. It's not like, even though he calls the name of God, he's not really trying to speak to him or have a conversation.
Jason, did you want to add to that?
He says the word I five different times.
So that's kind of a little clue as to what's going on, right? Mm.
Mm-hmm. I just want to be careful, though, because people do pray because they want to have a better relationship with Christ. They might say, Lord, help me, help me, help. I mean, it might be a reason, but this is not the eye of help me. It's the eye of it's all about me.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
There's a difference.
Yeah, we're not just doing kind of linguistic analysis here, right?
Right.
But we're getting a picture of someone that's that's wanting to do exactly what Jesus said, don't do. Mm-hmm. Pray to bring attention to yourself, to mm-hmm. flatter yourself. Well, let's go and look at how to pray. And first to ask a question in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 to 4. And Star, I'm going to ask if you'd read that for us from Luke 11, verses 1 to 4. And the question is it appropriate to ask how to pray or to learn how to pray? Or should we just, if we're connected to God, should we just like know how to do that? Is it like just given to us? Star, how does that read in Luke 11, verses 1 to 4?
Definitely. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and also we forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. And then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him in the midnight, and your friend says, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And I suppose that one inside the house answers, do not bother me, the door is already locked. And my children and I are in bed, and I can't get up to give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you anything, any bread, because of your friendship, yet because of the shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need.
So we've got an example after the request of a person coming and saying, I need help. Is God going to be that difficult to get our attention?
No.
No, he's waiting for us, isn't he? Mm-hmm. What did you learn, though, in the first few verses about whether or not it's okay to learn how to pray?
It is.
Yeah. It is okay.
It is.
When a disciple, and we don't know the name of the disciple, when he says, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus doesn't say,
you should already know.
You should already know how to pray. Or, you know, why do you ask me if you're full of the Spirit? Mm-hmm. Actually, he begins to teach him how to pray.
Well, he says that Jesus was already praying. When he finished, they asked that he would show them how. So they must have noticed something, not just in his prayer, but in his life. That was like, wow, we want to get connected like you are. Mm-hmm. So give us some tips. Give us the model of how we can have this same prayer life that you have, Lord.
It's almost like, Tricia Lee, then, Lord, teach us to pray like you do.
Yes. Yeah.
Something, nice. There was some kind of connection mm-hmm. that was occurring. Alex?
Yeah, I was going to just to add to that is anything. Jesus gives us a lot of examples in the Bible of different things. Anytime he gives us a specific example, then it's something he wants us to notice and take notice of to improve our lives.
All right. Now, I want you to notice, even though we can learn how to pray, there is a certain spontaneity to prayer. When you're connected with someone, even in a human relationship, you don't have to think, should I talk to you? You just want to communicate, right, Abigail?
Right.
So would you look in John chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, we'll see that prayer is a natural response when we're connected with Jesus.
Okay. John 14, 12 to 14. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I'll do it.
That's a startling thought. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But John 15 and verse 7. John 15 and verse 7. Justin, would you read that for us?
And I'll be reading from the King James Version. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you.
I wanted you to notice the relation. Do you see the connection there? If you abide in me,
mm-hmm.
my words abide in you,
and you ask.
It doesn't say you can, like permission,
right. mm-hmm.
but you will.
Right.
What does that tell you, Jason? Not you can. Well, that would be good enough news, wouldn't it? But that you will. What does that tell you?
There's some sort of natural response that when you're in Christ, you naturally will act this way. The relationship leads to a natural response.
So let's talk about praying in his name, because what Abigail read, people go, seriously, I can ask anything? Mm-hmm. There must be more to it than that. Let's look in 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. You see, when we have a living connection with Jesus, we're going to pray in a certain way.
Yes.
Jason, would you read that for us, please, from 1 John 5, 14 and 15?
Ooh. All right, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him."
Amen. Now, while you're reading, Stephanie, you're smiling, because that's an important clarification, isn't it?
Yes.
When you've got a relationship, what do you hear there?
I'm hearing, if you ask anything according to my will, or
so
to
how
his
do I know
will,
what his will is?
Being connected to the vine.
Ah, you abide in him.
Abiding in him, and his words abiding in us.
Really? I mean, can know that all for everything, every area of life?
Yes. Yeah.
Or just the basics?
Everything.
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 Everything, really?
Sure.
What I should have, you know, big decisions we ask about, right? Even small decisions.
Yes. We should.
Anything you can ask because you've got this living connection with me. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. This is an amazing, amazing little verse, but I think it tells us when we've got that living connection, Gloria, with Jesus, it's like an open door. An open door ready to bless us. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20.
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen. To the glory of God through us, amen."
Isn't that beautiful? All the promises of God are what?
Yes.
Yes, yes in him.
And amen.
And amen. Yeah. Let it be. So it's like I'm going to know how to pray when I have a living connection with Jesus. Why? Because I'm going to know his word, right? That's how relationships happen.
Right.
Yes. And so I can claim the promise when it says, "Peace I give to you, my peace, not as the world gives." Right. I can say, "Lord, I want to claim that peace today as I go to my job interview or I take my exam, right?
Yes.
I want to claim that peace because we're in connection with each other. I'm not using him, am I?
Right. No.
I'm trusting him.
Yes.
It's a beautiful relationship that we have. Now, it gets even better. Not only are all of the promises yes and amen when we're connected to Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, Trishley, actually helps us to pray.
Yes.
It's an amazing text if you read in Romans chapter 8, verse 26, our studies on the Holy Spirit, the Word, and prayer. We know the Holy Spirit guided the writing of the Word, preserved it, and helps us to understand it.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit even helps us to pray. How does Paul describe that in Romans 8:26?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered."
Mm-hmm. What does that mean, Nicole?
In our human state, and I love this text because it gives me hope that even in my human state with all my faults, with all my lacks, with all my deficits, as long as I'm open to Christ and as long as I'm seeking that relationship, the Holy Spirit will take my feeble words, my foolishness, and turn it into sweet incense in his ears and make it so he understands what I'm actually trying to say.
That's powerful.
Okay, and so if the Father says that is a perfect prayer.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Just to add to what Nicole mentioned, I think it's also that the Spirit searches our hearts.
Oh.
And he knows what we're trying to say, not just in uttering the words, but the motivation or the desire. So even just saying that, you know, give me someone to help today, he may know what it is in our hearts that we just really are looking for compassion, we're looking to have mercy, and he can help to translate that to heaven and give us the things that we need based off our desires that we aren't expressing in the right way.
So have you ever felt like I have this prayer, I want to pray, and I can't find the right words?
Yes.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit will help us. Go to Ephesians 6, verse 18. Maybe this is more what Paul's talking about than some kind of, ethereal prayer, like maybe even praying in another tongue that nobody understands. What does it mean when it talks about praying in the Spirit? Ephesians 6. And Nancy, would you read verse 18 for us?
Yes, I'm reading from the New King James Version, Ephesians 6, verse 8, you said?
18.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
Okay, some translations, what translation do you have?
New King James.
New King James. Some move in the Spirit and say, I think the NIV may be praying in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. Praying in the Spirit. Let's look in Jude and then we'll talk about what it means. Jude is right before the book of Revelation. And Stephanie, if you could read for us verse 20 and 21. There's only one chapter, so it's not chapter 1, it's just Jude. Verses 20 and 21 also speaks about praying in the Spirit, or the Spirit helping us with our prayers.
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
So praying in the Spirit means what, do you think? We know that from the text that the Spirit's going to help us, right? Praying in the Spirit, what would that mean? We know it's true prayer, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Praying in the Spirit. Does it mean the Spirit might give us the words to pray? Mm-hmm. Does it mean the Spirit might correct what we were thinking to pray? What do you think it means? Anybody? Yes, Justin.
It says it makes us stronger. As in, when we canvas, usually we say more prayer, more power.
Okay.
It gives us more power. I mean, we get stronger in faith as we pray more and more.
All right. So the outcome of praying in the Spirit is we are strengthened. Mm-hmm. What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? Yes, Jamie.
For me, it can oftentimes mean inviting the Spirit in and allowing the Spirit to guide my will so that my will aligns better with God's will, and so that I can pray in a way that pleases God.
And we've just read that when we pray according to His will,
yes,
we know we have the answer. Yes. So you're saying to consciously invite the Holy Spirit, yes, to help me pray, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. That's not just the groanings that cannot be uttered, which is wonderful too, but to actually help my mind to express the longing of my heart toward God. Mm-hmm. Can someone share a time when you were going through, Trisha Lee, you're smiling here, you know, you're going through a hard time and like, I don't even know how to pray. God, beautiful, help me know how to pray through this, and the Spirit helped you.
I was thinking of an example of a friend of mine, actually.
Okay.
And there was someone at her church, and there was a bit of tension there. And we had talked about it, and, you know, we thought that the right thing to do is to pray for this person. And she began to pray for this person. Again, there was some tension, and she asked the Lord, help me pray the right prayer. And she said that an hour later, she was still on her knees praying for this person, and she prayed all sorts of things, not just for that person, but for their family. And when she saw them the next time, she actually said, you know, I prayed for you, and I prayed these particular things. I don't know what's going on in your life, but I just want you to know I prayed about these things. And that person said, how did you know to pray those things for me?
What's the answer?
The Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
The Holy Spirit. Yeah. And I think that she was praying in the Spirit. She asked God to help her pray for someone that she had a bit of a tension with. And it's like, you know, if you're at odds with someone, you might not think all the right things about them, but God knows what they need, and you're able to feel drawn closer to them. So I think that was an example of praying in the Spirit and God showing you,
beautiful,
someone's need.
And the miracle happened before she opened her mouth.
Mm. Yes.
That she was willing to pray for someone, yes, that there was some contention going on there. Mm-hmm. Joshua?
Yeah, so I'm a man. Like,
that we know, Joshua.
Yeah.
We know you're a man, but what's the rest of the story, yeah, in terms of the prayer?
You know,
Holy Spirit helping you to pray.
I've gotten to a point in my relationship with Christ where, like, I recognize that He knows all of my thoughts anyway. Mm. You know, He knows everything about me. So I think that we have to have a certain level of vulnerability with God. Mm-hmm. And there's been times where, you know, I've been at work and things were going so rough that I just had to go into the, I have to go into the bathroom stall and just close the door and just say, God, like, why? You know, like, what's going on? Like, you see that I'm trying to live right. Like, just being honest, not like the Pharisee where, you know, I tithe. No, it's like, I'm just trying to live right. I gave my life to you. Mm. Like, you saw the things I gave up. Like, why are things still going this way? You know, I'm a man, but like, I cry sometimes. I'm not afraid to say that. You know, God understands us.
Yes.
He knows us better than anyone else. And I can just say, just be vulnerable with him and don't be afraid to tell him what's really on your heart.
You know, your testimony reminds me of a quotation in one of my favorite books on Christian life called Steps to Christ. And it says, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then it goes on, it says, not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are. Does God already know?
Yes.
But to enable us to receive him. Did you get that?
Yes.
Relationship.
Yes.
Prayer doesn't bring God down to us.
No.
That's up to him.
But brings us up to him.
Amen.
Yes.
So what's happening in my heart? It's not just push the button and get the answer. What's happening in my heart when I'm praying in the Spirit? Stein?
To me, I feel as though that a lot of the time when I'm, quote unquote, praying in the Spirit, it allows me to communicate with God directly, obviously, like prayer is. But it allows me to be a lot more intimate and genuine.
Yeah.
And so I'm in a place where the words flow freely and my communication with him is so clear, and I can see the answers he's giving me, and they might not be what I want to hear or whatever the case is. But along with his plan, they're always what needs to happen in my life.
Amen.
And so I've learned to allow him to have a very intimate and close relationship with him, but I've also learned to that whenever in praying, allow him to take control, and it's still a conversation between the two of us, but in communicating, still be very genuine and open. And so that, to me, that's what
kind
of
praying. Yeah, and that's quite different from a vain repetition prayer, isn't it?
Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, that's life-changing prayer.
Mm-hmm.
That's a life-changing prayer. Well, we want to go to the model prayer that Jesus taught us, because in there we find what you might call the basic building blocks of prayer. Now, we know, as was read when we in Ephesians 6, we can pray with all kinds of prayers. So there may be a time I'm just praying a prayer of praise, or I'm just praying a petition, or I'm just giving thanks, maybe for a time with a loved one or a delicious meal. But there are, I think, when we're praying, there's some basic building blocks. And the first one of these building blocks is praising God.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So, Abigail, if you could go to Psalm 100 for us, and verse 4, and it's talking about God's presence. And how does the psalmist describe coming into his presence? Psalm 100, verse 4.
And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name.
All right. Now, you could say, well, that's talking about when you go to the sanctuary. Well, that's true, too. But anytime you sit, that'd be when you go to church, you should be coming with praise.
Yes.
When you come in prayer.
Yes.
All right. Psalm 92. We're in the same book of Psalms. And Alex, if you could read the first two verses. I love the whole psalm, but just the first two verses. Give us that emphasis again. A basic building block is praise to God.
Sure. And I'll be reading from the King James Version. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night.
All right, it's good. So now we would expect, Stephanie, when we go to the what we call the Lord's Prayer, or the prayer that Jesus gave his disciples, to find those elements of praise, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's look in Matthew 6, which is one of the two places that this Lord's Prayer is recorded. Matthew 6. And notice verse 9 and also verse 13, the second half. Now, I need to tell you that in some translations, 13b, or the second half, is missing. But it sounds so much like the way Jesus prayed, it makes sense to me that it's there. But you'll see in verse 9 and then 13b, I think, are you reading from the New King James?
New King James,
okay.
Yes.
Let's see that element of praise. The Holy Spirit's helping us to pray.
Verse 9, in this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Verse 13b, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
So notice he begins, how is hallowed be your name praise? What does hallowed be your name mean?
Holy.
Holy.
Yeah, holy. Is that just a description or is that a word of praise to God?
It's praise.
Both.
It's both, yeah. Yes. It's both a description, but it's also a word of praise. It's also saying, I'm so glad you're holy, God. Yeah. I praise you.
I think, well, when we praise God, it's also us acknowledging who he is. And I think that's important in the way we relate to him. I'm talking to a holy God. I can't just come all casually necessarily. But I think that it's not just saying what's true just to say it, but it's also that when we acknowledge that in our minds, it helps, as you mentioned, to bring us up to God and to realize who we're talking to and how wonderful he is.
If you remember those elements of praise, you'll see them in some of the prayers of Jesus. Mm-hmm. One place he says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth.
Yes.
Another place it says, Jesus, full of joy by the Holy Spirit, said, I thank you, Father. So that's an essential building block in prayer. Nancy?
Yeah, I wanted to say that for a long time, it was kind of a little troubling to me, the fact that God would want us to praise him, because as a human being, I think when I'm praising another human being, it seems like, why do they need me to praise them? But God, as I thought more about it as I was studying this, the idea came to me that it's sort of like when you're introducing a speaker and you're listing their accomplishments. You know, they have this degree and they have these credentials and they've, you know, they have these awards. And when we're praising God, we're remembering all the wonderful things he's done for us.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then it helps us to believe more. So it helps. Yeah.
So what's the difference? I think it's really important. What's the difference between genuine praise and flattery? There is a difference, right?
I mean,
you know, for example, Jamie, you're a musician. Mm-hmm. If someone came up to you after you had played a piece and said, that was beautiful, you did an excellent job, and you could just say, thank you so much, right?
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
And praise God, right? Mm-hmm. But what's the difference between praise, whether to God or to an individual, and flattery? Trisha Lee?
I think flattery has the intent of trying to get them to do something, where it's manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I want to tell you these things so I can get you to do something for me.
All right.
So trying to manipulate.
Yeah. So this genuine heartfelt expression to God of how good he is truth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit's helping me with that, okay? Mm-hmm. So think about prayer time. How much of your prayer time do you spend praising God? And how much do you spend asking for things? And by the way, is it okay to ask for things?
Yes. Yes.
Later
yes.
We're going to say that's an important building block of prayer. Nicole?
It's funny. I had to learn in my prayer life to praise God, because if you don't praise him, you don't kind of reflect on who he is and what he's done for you in your life. And I actually had a friend tell me, you have to spend more time in your prayers actually praising him and thanking him for what he's done for you, because that helps you to just continue to connect to him. And so for me, I had to learn that praise was a very important part of my prayer, not the whole thing, but part of my prayer, just to let him know, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for me and what you continue to do for me each and every day.
And that connection may help you pray more accurately in the rest of your prayer,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Someone was asked, it was actually a man I really highly respect. He lived in the city where I was born, in Bristol, England. And he was asked, how long do you praise God in your prayers? His name was George Mueller, built a lot of orphanages and a great man of prayer. And you know what he said? I praise him until my heart is glad.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Huh?
Yeah.
Until.
Okay.
I praise him till my heart is glad, because I've now turned my focus away from myself to God, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that's one building block. Gloria.
I was thinking back to the point that you made on flattering versus praising and genuinely like praising God. And I think I was finding it hard to praise God, because I knew that my prayers always ended with, Lord, please do something for me. And so it seemed like I'm praising him to flatter him. But then I recently read something that said that God has no equal, and he's the only one who is holy, and he's the one who created you. So thinking about him being someone with no peer, then you don't feel guilty of flattering him, because he is what he is. So
the nicest things you say are true.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got to move on to confession. We are going to come to petition, because if he also has no equal, there's nothing too hard for him, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
We do want to come to that. But another essential building block of prayer, the Holy Spirit's going to help us to pray, right? Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit say, remember to praise God, but also remember confession. In the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 and verse 12, Justin, if you'd read Matthew 6, verse 12, and then I want you to see an example of that from King David in Psalm 51, that an essential component of prayer is confession.
Sure. I'll be reading from the King James Version. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
Forgive us our debts. Now, that's not talking about I owe you so much and I owe you so many dollars or whatever your currency is, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
My old English Bible that I learned growing up said, forgive us our trespasses.
Yeah.
Our sins, yes. Mm-hmm. Right? Forgive us our sins. Let's look at an example. Abigail, do you have Psalm 51?
Yes.
This is a beautiful prayer. We won't read the whole prayer. It will go on to say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Yes. But it starts with confession.
Okay, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I have done that is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just.
Fortunately, he'll go on having confessed and say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it says, restore to me
the joy.
Can anyone give a testimony that when you came honestly, like Staya was talking about, Joshua, you're talking about, when you just said, God, because God already knew that you messed up, right?
Yeah.
He already knew that you got upset or you did something that was unkind. Can anybody testify that when you were willing to be perfectly honest with God, that he restored to you the joy of his salvation,
yeah,
that it really happened?
Yeah.
You don't have to...
Yeah.
Tell me all of your offenses, but can anybody bear witness that that is true?
It's true.
Yeah.
Very true.
Christian Lee says that's all I'm going to tell you. It's true, okay? Now, part of this confession is not just confessing our sin. And this is really important because many people miss this. Because just to say I'm a sinner, I'm just guilty. It is also confessing my faith in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear that? Not just confessing my sin, but my faith in Jesus, my Savior. Look at a few verses with us. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 13. Romans chapter 10. Jamie? Verses 9 and 13. Let's see what the Apostle Paul tells us.
The New Living Translation says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And verse 13 says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Amen?
Amen.
That's really good news.
Yes.
Now go back to the Lord's Prayer. You may have missed this, but notice verse 10 in the Lord's Prayer. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. And Abigail, if you read verse 10, maybe you never saw this as a confession of faith, but having praised God, hallowed holy is your name, what does Jesus say we should pray next?
Praying from the reading from the New Living Translation, it says, may your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
How is that a confession of faith? Alex?
We're trusting that he is coming back. And
right? So. Okay. And may your will be done.
Yes.
On earth.
On earth.
That's like me, right? We live on the earth, right?
Yeah.
I'm not just praying it for you, but may your will be done in my life.
Right.
Yeah, as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So embedded in that Lord's Prayer is this confession. Your kingdom is coming and I'm trusting you, and may your will be done in my life. Does that make sense?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Not only confessing our sin, we're confessing the Savior.
Amen.
But then we talked about making requests. And some of you said, I don't want to just make requests, but is it okay to make requests? Mm-hmm. Well, let's see what Jesus says. We're talking about praying in the Spirit. And if I don't know what request to make, he can help me, right? Mm-hmm. But look in Matthew chapter 7. Verses 7 through 11. Nicole, Matthew 7, 7 through 11. It is not only okay or acceptable to make requests of God, he wants us to.
Yes. Yes.
Once we have that living connection with him.
So I'm reading Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11 from the New International Version, and it says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?"
And what is the greatest gift?
Salvation.
Salvation?
Being able to love.
Faith?
Love.
Love? It's interesting, in the parallel version in Luke 11, verse 13. Gloria is saying, I see something there, Gloria. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will my Father in heaven give?
The Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Because with the Holy Spirit coming, the entire Godhead is with us.
Amen.
I will not leave you comfortless, Jesus said. I will come to you.
Amen.
So we should ask knowing that we will receive. Look at one example in the Lord's Prayer in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 13. One petition that is made in verse 13. Sai, do you have that? Matthew 6 and verse 13. What's the petition you see there?
And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, or the New International Version, rather. It says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one."
So, does God lead people into temptation?
No.
I've often thought a better translation would be, "I know you don't lead us into temptation, but rather you deliver us."
Yeah.
So the request is for what?
To be delivered.
Yeah, deliverance. Mm-hmm. Deliverance. Mm-hmm. You're on my side. You're not trying to catch me out.
Amen.
Or trip me up, mm-hmm. right? You want to actually deliver me from evil. Let's look in Mark 11, verse 24. We're talking about the importance of asking when we have needs. We also want to praise God. Yes, we want to confess. Jason, how does Mark 11, verse 24 read?
I'll be reading from the New King James Version, Mark chapter 11, verse 24. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them."
You say, "I tried that, didn't work." I asked for that boyfriend, you know, your girlfriend, right, Gloria? Cried out to the Lord. Hit the tennis ball, and he just let it bounce back in the court. What is that saying? You're telling us to ask, you've said, about any area. What if I don't know if it's his will? We'll use a relational example, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the person I'm going to share my life with. Maybe I don't know that for sure. Mm-hmm. How did Jesus pray? Do you remember? If I'm praying for victory over a temptation. Mm-hmm. Do I know that's what God wants?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. But there's some things I'm not sure. So let's see how Jesus prayed in Luke 22 and verse 42. If I'm not sure, well, I don't know. Possibly, but how did Jesus pray? Nicole, do you have verse 42 of Luke 22?
Yes.
Great example from Jesus.
This is the New International Version. It says, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done.
What was the cup?
His cross.
Yeah. The sufferings and death of taking our sin upon himself, right? Mm-hmm. Jesus did not naturally want to go through that. I mean, he suffered everything that the whole world deserved. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If it's possible, he prays. Let this cup pass from me, but not my will.
Your will be done. Right.
So if it's not sure, or even if I don't feel that, as I said earlier, I may not always get the answer I was hoping for, right? But Lord, not my will, but your will be done. But if it's not the answer I'd expect, look at Colossians 4, verse 2, because here's a way the Holy Spirit can help us. Maybe it's not the answer I would expect, but what do I need to do? Let's see what it says in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Nancy, looks like you have that.
Yeah.
Would you read verse 2 of Colossians 4?
Yes. And it says, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Colossians 2, verse 4?
No, 4 verse 2. Yeah,
okay.
You're there.
Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving.
No, I need another translation, please. The continue in prayer, and then what does your Bible say for the next word besides vigilant? Because that's an old
watchful.
English word.
Watchful.
Watchful. Okay? Watchful. Now, follow with me now. I may not get the answer that I'm expecting, but I am going to get an answer, and so I need to be
watchful,
right?
Yeah.
Because the Holy Spirit's going to be at work, and I need to notice. Why is it important that I'm watchful? What do you think?
Because God could be blessing you.
Okay, God is offering a blessing to you, and if I'm not watchful, what?
You can become discouraged, too.
You might become discouraged, or, Justin?
You'll miss it.
You might miss the blessing. God may send another blessing. And I'm so busy going, oh, I didn't get what I wanted. And God is like, right? So be watchful. And what did it say at the end, Nancy? Be watchful or vigilant with?
Thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. Are you giving thanks to God once you see his answer or even before?
Even before.
Why?
Because you trust him. You have faith that he's going to do it.
Yeah. And because as we read earlier, all the promises of God are yes and
amen.
Amen in him, right? Yeah. Yes, Jamie.
And if you're truly seeking God's will, then you trust what he has, you know, in store for you, even if it's not the answer you were looking for. And there's actually a scripture that has been very comforting to me lately, and that's back in Psalm 32, verse 8.
Okay, could you take a moment for us to read that? Psalm 32.
Amen.
And verse 8, our study today is about the Holy Spirit, the Word, and prayer. And sometimes when we don't know how to pray, the Holy Spirit brings a Bible text to our minds, and then we pray that, right?
Yes.
So how does that read in your translation, Psalm 32, verse 8?
And I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. It says, the Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you.
Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
So, and that includes knowing how to pray and knowing how to be watchful.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the building blocks? Well, we definitely want what in our prayers?
Praise.
And?
Confession.
Not only of our sins, but also of our
faith
in Jesus. And then?
Petitions.
Yeah. Not just for ourselves, but for other people. But it's interesting that we also kind of conclude with thanksgiving and praise to God. Notice Jesus has already prayed in John 11 and verse 41. Most people don't read this text to say, what does the Bible teach about prayer? But Jesus has already prayed before he comes to the tomb of Lazarus. And Stephanie, what does he say there at the beginning of his prayer? He prays out loud now so that people know that he's been talking to his father in preparation. What does he say?
And I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me.
Notice what he says. I thank you that you
have heard me.
You already heard my prayer, right?
Yeah.
In fact, later he says, I said it for the benefit of those here. But he concludes his prayer by saying,
Thank you.
Why do you think it's important? We've been spending some wonderful time praying in the Spirit. That means the Spirit's helping us. Why do you think it's important, Gloria, to conclude our praying by saying, thank you, God?
For me, it's really important because it reminds me that this is being able to pray or talk to God is not an opportunity that you take lightly, because as we know, prayer brings us up to Him. So it's not for the benefit of Him, but for us.
It's true. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. And it's not for God's benefit, is it? It's for our blessing as we commune with Him as with a friend. We've studied today in this series on the Holy Spirit, the Word, and prayer, that prayer that is just focused on us is not pleasing to God. But when we open our hearts to Him, we learn the lessons about prayer that we've studied. We come to Him in praise and say, God, I just want to praise You for being such a great and awesome God. When we confess our sin, God, forgive me. And not only our sin, but we confess Jesus as our Savior. We're learning how to pray. When we bring petitions, Jesus said, ask, it will be given to you. We do that in Jesus' name, praying in harmony with His will. And yes, we end with thanksgiving because we know when we pray in the Spirit, in the name of Jesus, that miracles are going to happen. Oh, I want to be that kind of prayer anointed by the Spirit. Don't you? Let's pray together that miracle can happen for us. Our Father in heaven, thank You so much for this study, the Holy Spirit, the Word, and prayer. Thank You for teaching us how to pray and for the assurance that You long to hear our prayers and to bless us. May we continue earnestly in the prayer, guided by the Spirit, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, thanks for joining us for Hope Sabbath School today. This has been an amazing series, hasn't it? And we'd love to hear how God is speaking to your heart. You can write to us at sshope@hopetv.org and share with us, this is how God is blessing me as I'm learning more about the Holy Spirit. And you know, from today's study, I want to pray in the Spirit, to not pray with rote prayers and vain repetitions, but enabled by the Spirit to pray in a way that is truly pleasing to God and to know the will of Jesus so I can pray in harmony with His will. My friends, go out and pray in the Spirit. Be a blessing to the people around you and know that as you allow God's Spirit to work in you and through you, you'll find joy in service to Him.
Amen.